Hello and welcome to the official podcast of Palate Exposure, featuring Ilona Thompson, a podcast for those seeking the ultimate in wine, food, and travel. Each week, she interviews winemakers, chefs, celebrities, and a variety of guests that shape the way we enjoy life.
Can we clone you?
Is that possible?
I know it'd be hard to handle for the world 203, but would you speak as the truth? You just solved a lot of world's problems. You do the right thing. You collaborative, generous, and you honor and respect people's time and money.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, there's so many things in the industry that, you know, seem unsolvable, that are so imposing and overwhelming. You know, how do we sell luxury wine? Well, that's how you sell it. You get together with people that love it, and you engage the audience.
Yeah. I mean, too often, I hear this, is that people say, oh, I want to just have this winemaker dinner on my own, because I want all those cases of wine or bottles of wine to be sold by my winery, that recognition. And they're worried about any type of dilution.
Yeah.
And they don't see down the road.
They don't see the big picture. Mm-hmm. And you do. And you always have.
I've never thought of myself as seeing the big picture. I just, you know, I'm like, because I'm trying to like figure this stuff out day in, day out. And,
although you wouldn't claim credit for pioneering, you know, cross-pollinating vineyard work and winemaking, it's not really important if you were first or not, but you knew that so early on, and that was so important.
The tour bus idea.
And then the tour bus idea.
The tour bus idea, which, you know, there was I had a bigger group of people that thought, not just people here at the winery thought, this is crazy.
Yeah.
But there was distributors and there was distributors on all sides. There was distributors that I would tell them what I was into. We'd set out this plan, say, we're going to be in your town on such a date. This is how to utilize myself and the bus when it lands in your lap. And there was people that, honestly, this sounds crazy, but that didn't know what to do with it. They went, we don't know if we really have room for that, or we're not sure how that would work. And I said, I'm telling you how it works. I'll be there. You're gonna get all your salespeople that day. You say you have your sales meeting on Friday. At some part of that meeting, when you let them go, just have them come out of the building, come on board the bus. And there was some that just couldn't wrap their head around it. It sounds so simple to think, who wouldn't wrap their head around it? But people wouldn't. And then you'd have some people that go, when is the bus here? We can't wait. And then in successive years, like I said, it's for 3 years. In successive years, those people that loved it in the beginning, oh my God, they made sure that date was definitely saved. And then there was still some people that never really came on slow, that never really got it. But the ones that did get it still to this day say, when are you traveling with the bus again? And of course, you know, I've since sold the bus. And
what a stroke of genius, but it seems to make all the sense in the world.
It made all the sense. You know, I couldn't afford, I didn't have the money to, you know, there was no private jet that was flying me from place to place, and I needed to go to all these little places, and it would have cost a fortune that I didn't have. But.
And talk about brand attachment and recognition. Nobody's ever going to forget you after you get off that bus.
No, probably not. I mean, after we, you know, get pictures taken, we get pictures taken outside the bus, pictures inboard. There's videos. If you go to YouTube, I guess, YouTube.
Okay.
Go to Tour Maritaggio.
Tour Maritaggio.
And turn up your speakers.
Oh, God, I can't wait. Too much fun. Is there a second rendition of this, maybe not in the bus form, or are you ever planning to repeat the...
It's so funny because now here, you know, the people here that have said, you know, that were really against it, and hey, it was not flawless, as I say. There'd be trips that I'd be making, like, almost no one would be there. You know, people that said they'd be there wouldn't be there, and it was all of that, right? And then by the third year, Stuart was humming pretty good. Even with that, people for here for years have said, yeah, no, we're not doing that. My daughter, who was like my GM, really is pretty much my boss now. I don't know how that happened. She has said, hey, you know, now that the bus is not coming back. Too recently, I heard her in the last couple months in a conversation say, Well, the bus could be reborn.
It's a yes.
So it's probably a yes.
It's a yes.
So it just...
So stay tuned for part two.
I've gotten older.
Oh, I think that your spirit is quite young. So I know maybe physically you might need a better hotel and, you know, nicer pillows. But other than that, the concept, I mean, think about the PR value. Think about the money you're saving and not hiring your PR agency. Wow. That's how you can sell it to her.
I could never afford that.
Yeah, so there you go.
I had to.
Pritchard Hill.
Yeah.
When you first came here. And now. It's a study in contrast, really. I mean, it's such a glam spot now.
It is. Well, it didn't start off that way. And when I first saw this property, and my dad had built... My dad was the guy that engineered the road. Here's the guy with degree, right? Eighth grade schooling.
Yeah.
He was the guy that designed this road and how it comes all the way up here. And that's if you're on any of the neighbor roads, any of the neighboring roads that go up on top of the hill, you won't find a drive this nice. This was my dad. But it was my dad that he loved the Chapelet wines. I mean, my dad was a guy who was a drinker of their 68s. And such a Chapelet and Don Long, my father Don Long, they were friends, and my father, Chris, lived in the Bay Area, would bring his friends up here and say, taste this, and introduce the people that had never tasted really quality wines. It was just like, wow. Everyone's so excited. It was really my father, who probably couldn't afford to buy land down on the valley floor at the time, that in a luncheon with, I think maybe it might have been with Don Chapelet, but, there was, I'm trying to think who was there. There was some famous winemakers there. One was the...
Probably who's who.
Oh, who was the winemaker at BV that was the old one?
The old one would be Andrew Chelyshev, then it was Dick Peterson.
Okay, so Andrew Chelyshev.
Andrew Chelyshev,
At the luncheon with my father.
Oh yeah, that's just like one icon. The icon.
But at the time, he wasn't.
Yes, of course.
Every day. And they were having lunch together, and my father said to him, Andre, I know nothing about growing grapes.
Oh my God.
If you're me, where would you buy land?
Yeah.
And he said, well, you know, you wanted to grow Cabernet. And my father said, you know, yeah, I guess that's what I'm doing. He said, right up here. And he points up on this hill. And it was that simple. It was that simple. That's how simple it was. And so my father started buying property. He bought 40 acres that was landlocked.
Yeah.
Couldn't even legally visit his first 40 acres. It was in the middle of all this. It was up on, right up where the oak tree is, the vineyard. That's where my parents used to picnic back in the 50s. They would park their car down on Silverado Trail. My father would put my mother on his shoulders, carry their picnic basket, hike through the brush. They were so proud to be Napa landowners. And they would picnic under that tree in the 50s.
There should be a movie about this.
Oh.
This is just so cool. Has anybody written it down in your family history?
No. I would say no. I mean, I think there's, you know, there's parts in conversations that I've had, now, where people have written things down.
Yeah, just pieces of it, but I mean, not the comprehensive chronology, because I think this is a true American story. I mean, I'm hanging on to every word, and it's so compelling, and there's so much to unpack there. It's like every time you make a comment, I want to kind of get into that storyline. Wow. So from that to now, to quote, you know, a famous publication, Rodeo Drive, not sure how you feel about that characterization, but it's certainly all of a sudden a glamour spot.
I was on Rodeo Drive 2 weeks ago. crazy event. Did a bunch of partying just with another buddy that I guess we were... going from bar to bar, and it was a fun place. I mean, for a farmer to come there for when it was, you know, so much glitz and so much glamour, I was way out of my leg, but I had a great time, fun time.
So, and you are in fact in the glamour district, the Beverly Hills of Napa Valley, according to many, not just some. Now, there's a lot of awareness. What is it like? Because you saw it grow up from infancy, really, viticulturally, from nothing, from a zygote to a person.
Very recently, I realized, you know, and I get this a lot. You're on both sides. You're on the side where you are explaining to people Pritchard Hill, and they have no idea where it is. They just have no idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you have people, and I was at a winery the other day looking at a new, and these people just finished a new home at this winery, and they had some guests over, and this is the other side of the coin, people that have no idea what you do or where Pritchard Hill is, and then this young couple, really wine savvy, mm-hmm. they were kind of, I met them and they were kind of quiet, and it took me a while, my wife had explained to me, she says, they're thinking that you're famous and they're having a hard time. They don't know what to say to you. Mm-hmm. And I said, and once I found that out, then I went back and I said, you know, I said, I got to tell you, whatever you are thinking of me, I said, I am just a farmer. And I said, yes, I've been doing this now a while, but I said, don't put me on any type of pinnacle, pedestal.
Yeah.
I'm the same moron that, you know, has made this mistake and this mistake. I said, so, you know, let's talk about your future, you know, and what, where you guys, where you kids want to go.
Yeah.
And I said, you both seem so passionate. I said, and that alone will probably carry you through all of this. If you maintain this passion that I see in the two of you right now, you're going to do really well. And but it's all sides, you know, it's people don't know, and then people that go, oh my God, Pritchard Hill. So it's all about, you know.
It's got to feel a little surreal at times.
It does. It does. When you'll get people say, I can't believe I'm having a glass of wine with you. And I stop, are you kidding me? Stop it.
Oh, I'm familiar with the sentiment. I can tell you from this side, you know, you're a bona fide rock star.
No.
I didn't realize how much you inhabited that role and how much you earned it. But it doesn't stop, you know, again, on the outside looking in, having that, you know, sense of awe.
I tell people this all the time. I said, you know, when you do start to drink that bathwater... You're in trouble.
Game over, huh?
Game over. It may not be right away, but you're headed in a bad place.
I don't see you participating in that, but you're so self-aware.
Well, I think that, you know, like I said, back in the days when, you know, there was just nothing but high scores and high scores and high scores, you do start to drink that bathwater. You tell yourself that you won't, but you start to. And then you get a lower score. You get slapped back into place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the work that you do to get out of that, mm-hmm. to get back to a nice place, mm-hmm. that you absolutely cherish now. You cherish it, and you will work your tail off to never let that happen. And also realize it's not a gift. It's not a gift. It's something you have to work for. The gift can't be given.
The gift can't be given.
It can't be given. You absolutely have to have that great wine in the bottle. You know, competition is fierce. I mean, what's come up around me in the last 25, 30 years? There's a lot of people out there making great wine. There is a lot. And the wine is very good. It's very good. It's gotten a lot better. You know, through technology, we now have, you know, we can all buy kind of similar equipment. And,
yes.
You know.
Where do you see this headed? First of all, your future, the future of your brand, but also, again, taking that helicopter view, Pritchard Hill, Napa Valley. What are your thoughts on?
Well, I think that I lucked out. I mean, I wouldn't, if you said tomorrow, hey, will you trade where you are for a piece of property that's 10 times the size on the valley floor? The answer straight away is no.
Mm-hmm.
No, I won't. And likewise, you know, Sonoma, great wine growers, right? Mendocino, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Paso Robles, wonderful grapes being grown. I mean, really great stuff. But would I trade for any of those? No, I won't. I won't. I feel like I lucked out where I am, and I'm staying put. The future, you know, we went through something about 3 years. Well, it's been a progress where my brother that was a partner has been bought out actually by my son-in-law and his father. So now it's my daughter and I and my son-in-law and his father. That's the partnership. Mm-hmm. And they're wonderful to work with, and they tolerate me. You know, they're really, really good at letting me just be me and make decisions as I see fit. They're mm-hmm. really cool about that. Mm-hmm. And then going forward, something that happened fairly recently is I had an opportunity to sell. And it was for more money than I thought was really on the planet. It was for a lot of money. And I went to my daughter and I said, "Hey, what do you think of this? This looks very good." And she said, "Dad, I love what we do." And that was it. That was it. And I will tell you that every day since then is really a strangely great day, because you realize what you could have done. You could be set, and your kids set, and your and everyone set, and no worries. To have your daughter say, "I love what we do. What would we do if we didn't do this?" And I said, "So you want to go on and you want to do this?" She said, "Yes." And I would like my daughter then to come in and do what we do. And once you hear that and you make that decision, and you realize you're never going to see, I'll never see that money, it's actually really comforting. Because you now don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about being approached for a lot of money and going through that. You just realize this is what you do. And this is what your kids do. And so it stays put.
It is so powerful.
It was really a powerful moment. I will tell you, it was when you really settle in with it, it is actually really calming. It is like all these rough waters of offers and things of what you could sell for and the wealth. And you go, "You know what? I love what I do." And it's true. I don't know what I would do. I mean, I would imagine that someone that would buy it, you know, and all these offers were for me to also stay on for, you know, 3 years, 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I tell everyone, I make a lousy employee. I make a lousy employee. I'm not good at that. I'm not good at getting a focus group together. I'm the worst.
You know, so many of us strive to kind of buy our own modicum of freedom back. I mean, what is retirement? It's having your own time to yourself, right? Not selling it for a price. And you worked your way to a position where you had a really extraordinary choice to make. You bought that choice with all of that.
Yeah.
And that choice had a very heavy price tag. And I'm sure that, you know, those people would have taken great care of your property. You would never even talk to them otherwise. So there's a lot of positives beyond the money. And yet you had the luxury of walking away, and you've given yourself that permission. Because this gave more.
It does. I mean, I love people. I love being around people, and I love what we do. I love where this is. I love driving up on this mountaintop. And I think, you know, what would I do? So I've signed on now. I have a just a handshake agreement with my daughter that I will be here at least till I'm almost 70 now, and I'll be here to age 75. And after age 75, I said, let's take it week by week. So I'm going to be here for a long time. I have no plans of going. And it seems to be getting stronger, not weaker. I even asked my daughter the other day. She said, so there's winemaker dinners coming up in here, here, and here. And I turned and I said, so you're going to go, right? You'll go do that. And she said, no, Dad, you go. And so as I tell her, as long as I'm wanted, as long as you kids still want me here, I'm here. When the day comes, you say, hey, Dad, you know what? Time for you to kind of drop back. Then I'll do it. But it doesn't seem to be happening.
No, with your charisma, I'd be saying the same thing. And honestly, no, I'm a little shocked. Because you guys obviously can't see via this medium, but there will be photos posted. You judge for yourself. No way in hell do you look 70.
Oh, thanks.
Not possible. I think you're making this up. I'm going to need to see your driver's license before I leave. Wow. First of all, congratulations, and this is not just a word, I truly mean how humbling it is to be in the presence of someone that made such difficult but fundamentally right choices. It's encouraging because there's so many things in the world that knock you down and there's so much nonsense. But just being there in that bubble with you and hearing your story and knowing that people like you that fought for every little bit of what you have still have so, your disposition is that of generosity, of, you know, your spirit is so bright and kind. And that's just,
we're here to be happy.
That's important, very important.
Right? You got to squeeze everything out of this life you can.
And there's only one that I'm aware of. So unless, you know, somebody...
My father. My father had this thing to share with you.
Yeah.
My father used to always say, David, this life that you're living right now,
yeah,
it's not a dress rehearsal. You're into the real deal. And he would say, in case you're wondering,
yeah,
this is it. This is not a dress rehearsal. He would say that. And then as he got older... He said to me, he says, you know, just in case you're wondering, you know, he said, you know, a lot of my friends are older and they're starting to die around me, right? And I said, yeah, Dad, I know that. He says, just in case you're wondering, not one of my friends has come back from the other side and said, hey, it's awesome over here.
The conclusion of this interview can be found in the next podcast, already available for your download. Thanks again for tuning in to the official podcast of Palate Exposure, featuring Ilona Thompson.